and thank you for tuning in to Faith Worship Center's weekly sermon. We hope you are inspired and encouraged by this week's message as we all live to bring more of heaven to earth.
Happy Mother's Day. I am a mother. I am going to be speaking to you, all of you, not just to mothers, okay? As a mom, I'm representing, and I've got lots to offer besides mothering, right? So anyways, that's how we landed on this, right? Because we don't want to exclude anyone. But I'm excited to get to share. Lynn and I were thinking about tag teaming, but we were like, I got too much to say. She's got too much to say. So Lynn's going to share on her own Sunday. And you're going to hear from her soon in a couple weeks, I think. So that will be fun. But I'm excited to get to share with you guys. And today I want to talk about receiving, nurturing, and protective love. Okay, because this is a big one. The Lord's been really, I've just been noticing language about receiving love coming up a lot. And so I just want to go in the flow of what the Lord's saying. Because we can only love to the capacity we are able to receive love. Our capacity is a big deal when it comes to loving others, right? We're called to love our neighbors as ourselves, right? And that in tandem is on purpose, because to the measure we're able to receive love ourselves is to the measure we can actually pour it out and love others. So that tells us it's very important to pay attention and notice, what is my capacity to actually love others? And can it actually expand? And that is what my goal in my heart this morning is to do, is to just expand our capacity to receive love, okay? Because it's directly determined by our experience, I think. And so I'm going to go a little bit into some, a little psychology notes, but just know that, like, this has been so profound in me. The thing about, about 7 years ago, I think, was when I first came upon this language and this idea that described the difference between nurturing love and protective love. And the tool about language, when we have definition and clarity, it gives language to something that is internal, that we think is only, that we're the only ones going through, right? And we can reel in ourselves thinking like, oh boy, this is a pain I don't think anyone else has, or this is a weird pattern of how I think, or this is a weird habit that I have, or, oh man, this seemed to affect me way harder than it affected others, or whatever. You know, we have this internal mechanism. And what I love about language is that when we find language that describes what's going on inside of us really well, it brings external understanding and validation and connection, because you come to find out we're all very similar. We all have a lot of the same kind of hurts and pains, different ways, but a lot of the similar core experiences. And so that's why I'm really grateful for, like, the world of psychology and therapy that are just giving these terms and language for this internal complex mechanism of how we're wired, so that we can have this shared meaning and understanding. And what it does is it creates connection and community. So don't worry, we're going to talk about a couple, like, psychological terms, but do not worry, because Jesus is in it all. And I'm going to define them a little bit, and then at the end, I'm going to show you where Jesus shows up in them and where it is in Scripture, okay? Because he's always there. He's always there, and he's always the source. Amen? Okay. Intro done. Check. So let's define these guys. Nurturing love, okay? Nurturing love can be thought of the greenhouse for the heart. This is the love that sustains and grows life. It is the type of love that cares and sees and takes care of needs. That's why nurturing love is oftentimes more instinctual to, like, an apparent role to the mother, because mother bears the children. The baby is literally sustained by her life in her body when they're during pregnancy, right? And then even when the baby's born, initially the baby thinks it's one with the mother, right? And the mother's caring for it and nurturing it and feeding it and attuned to any need that it might have. But just know also, this isn't limited to mothers. I think it's just typically a little more instinctual to mothers, but fathers totally do this. They are very much good at caregivers, especially nowadays. Modern parenting, it's like the role is very much shared. Gone are the days of single family income, it seems. I mean, I'm not declaring that. Lord, forgive me. I'm just noticing a pattern. But, you know, there's some liberation in it where it's like, woo, women encouraged to like go after goals and ideas and things, but also this desire to mother and be with their kids. But also fathers get to do that too. You know, it's not just this separated role. It's this integrated role now, which I think they're showing to be very healthy for the upbringing of children. Having a parent, having both parents do both forms of love. Okay? So no shame, no like not trying to make a statement of one way or the other. I'm just saying it's all good. It's all good, right? All love is all good. Yeah? Take that. Okay. Let's see. What else? Nurturing love is how we feel seen and supported on all levels. So this is very important to our psyche as we're developing. When we start to have needs, not just physical needs, when we start to have emotional needs, when we start to have spiritual needs, or, you know, those are all, or even like intellectual thoughtful needs of just needing answers, or, you know, the why phase of why mom, you know, that is something that nurturing love answers. It sees all of the needs and it wants to meet them, in every level, mind, body, spirit, all the things. Okay. Whereas let's look at protective love. Protective love is kind of like the borderlines around the heart. This has a lot to do with safety. This love is what creates a safe space for someone to thrive and grow. The love that creates safety and reassurance. This has a lot to do with like shielding and preparedness in a way, but empowerment as well. It's the how to be in the world. It's a love that wants to... It protects with its borders, but then it wants to expand those borders as someone grows, right? So protective love is all about like kind of the thriving and surviving element, whereas nurturing love is like the internal growing. Does that make sense? Kind of, they're very similar, but a little bit defined differently, okay? And again, this protective love is a bit more naturally in tune with a lot of the father role, but again, mothers very much do this, especially some fierce mamas, man. You don't want to mess with some fierce moms that know, that keep their kids safe. Safety is a big deal with protective love. All right, before I move on to the next slide, what I want to do is I want to talk about some wounds, okay? Because when there is a deficit, not if, but when there is a deficit of nurturing love and protective love, often that manifests as what is known as a childhood wound. This is a hurt or a pain because we did not receive the amount of love that we required to feel safe or seen. This is a normal human experience, okay? So as I go through these wounds that nurturing love or protective love can kind of create and manifest in our lives, hear it through the ears of grace, okay? First of all of you parents, Don't be thinking about this for you, okay? This is not time for you to be like, oh my God, am I doing this to my kids now? Like, what is going on? How am I messing up my kids? And do I need to sign them up for therapy when they turn 4? Because like, I just don't know if I'm doing this right, okay? No. We are all approaching this as children. We are all children, okay? And so that is how I want us to view these, okay? For yourself. What was your experience, okay? Rule number one, okay? Rule number two. This, just because we notice a pain and a wound, does not disqualify or shame or demonize your childhood, okay? So please, this is an experience we all, as a humans, we experience. Because I don't want to get too much into the depths of this, but the way the Lord created us is intentionally to need one another. Right? To be in relationship with one another. And sometimes we miss each other, right? Especially with our nuclear family and growing up and stuff and different, you know, our parents' stories is the complexity of like why they weren't able to maybe show up in a certain way that we needed. You know, guys know like all these different terms coming out. Well, five love languages, like that's been around for a while, or just what's the other one? Like attachment theories, like figuring out, again, that shared terms to understand how we're all uniquely wired to receive love, to give love, and how, like, if we, just because somebody is great at giving nurturing love, maybe as a child you needed more protective love and not as much nurturing love, and the nurturing love felt overbearing and controlling and just overwhelming, right? You know what I'm saying? So again, this is not to condemn or say your parents were bad or evil or whoever your caregivers were. This is just a natural thing that every child has, is like with these wounds. So we're just going to have grace and humility to notice them. Because when we notice them, power comes and healing comes and growth can happen. And that capacity to receive love expands. This is why I care so much about this stuff, okay? What's the last rule I have? Oh, okay. Just a little quick thing, okay? All right. These wounds are not things that happen to us necessarily. I don't want you to think of, just because the word wound is there, that this is like you're a victim. This is more so the stereotype, I would say, or the filter in which we perceive love. So that's how siblings can be totally different or have completely different relationships with their parents. One sibling can be like, mom and dad are the best. They're so awesome. They're like so supportive. And they just like, let me go and do what I want. And the man, I just love them so much. Whereas like another kid, the second kid might be like, what? Like they're so, they just don't see me. They don't take care of me. And I'm like, they just let me, I need more from them and they're not communicating. And I feel like help, love is withheld. You know, like, do you guys ever have those of you who have siblings, like completely different views of your parents with one another, right? That's because, not because of your parents, it's because of you. That's because of you. But know this, that is a beautiful part of who you are and the intentional design of how God created you. Because our biases, yes, it's important to be aware of them, but also there is power in them, in knowing them, because he wired us to be different. He wired us to need different things. We're not meant to be all the same, right? So that is the other rule, okay? You guys got it? So don't think of yourself as like the one making these wounds. Don't think of your childhood as like evil. We're entering with grace and nuance and humility. And then also like, no, this is just a filter, not like an attack, okay? Okay, I think I preferenced that. Good, you guys with me? You guys vibing? Is this too heady? Are we getting too heady? No? All right. You guys are smart. Come on. You guys can vibe. All right. Let's try and go through this. Let's start with nurturing love wound. Okay. The nurturing love wound is I'm too much. It's the lie that says you're too much. Your needs, I can't handle them. Can't handle them. So you're too much. You're too needy. And as a child, it can look like your primary caregiver was unable to meet your needs. And then you became forced to figure it all out on your own. So in adulthood, this can look like someone grows into having like more of a higher self-preservation instinct. They will be more autonomous, independent, the go-getters, very responsible, reliable, they'll have great follow through. These are the ones that don't need much because they learned my needs are too much. Therefore I need to take care of them myself because the rejection of them not being met is too painful. Often this wound is connected to extreme rejection, which is very painful. It is painful, you know? So I'm trying to validate. Okay. I'm trying to validate your needs are not too much. Okay. But your experience was that they were too much for maybe your caregiver. But that turned into you being very independent, autonomous, and that worked out for you in adulthood. You learned how to get what you needed to get. Okay, hard to connect on an emotionally deep level with others. Now, this is funny because there's like two sides to this. A lot of the times, those with more of a nurturing love wound are really good at connecting, at making other people feel seen, because that was their pain. They didn't feel seen, but they love to make other people feel seen. So they're the ones that will help and kind of care, and you'll go to, and you'll pour your soul out to them, and they're just like, yeah, I love this. Like, tell me more, you know, like, which is a gift, right? You guys have those friends that you can just expose your innermost ugly and they're just like, love you. And you're like, this is awesome, right? Like, they're so safe. Nothing wrong with that. That is a beautiful gift. If you don't have friends like that, woo, I'm praying for them in your life right now in Jesus' name. We all need friends like that, okay? Safe spaces for our souls. But often, as much as they are very present to somebody else's pain and needs, they themselves are not the best at sharing their needs and exposing their vulnerabilities. Scary. Because, again, what if I show you my need and it's rejected? That might mean there's something, I'm too needy again. It just brings up that trigger, that wound. See how it's like this quick thing. You won't even like notice it sometimes. But if you ever notice yourself, you're fine with other people bearing their souls, but you have a hard time bearing your soul, or after you do it, you feel like you have vulnerability hangover. Woo, I get those all the time, man. I'm like, oh, I share too much. Every Sunday, guys, every Sunday I have a vulnerability hangover, okay? So like, I bore my soul too much. That was too much for the people. It's like, no, it's fine. It's fine. The Lord loves it. You guys love it, right? Like, come on, right? No. Okay. Anyways, yes. So it's just like that vulnerability. It can feel very like, you can share all of you, but I'm nervous to share me, you know? So that's what that means. Okay. Now, here's the gift, because with every pain, with every wound, there is redemption. And I love how the Lord doesn't just heal, cover up, and like move it along and make you different. He integrates and uses that for the texture of your being. I love it, because look at the gift of a nurturing love wound. Like, come on, let's bring heaven to earth and start looking at this stuff in a new perspective, right? The gift of these is they're very reliable. They're empathetic. They're accepting of others. They're non-judgmental. They're super compassionate. They're not afraid to get in the mud with you. They are attentive to others' needs. Like I said, repressed to their own needs, maybe. But then they're just super present to others. This is the gift of someone who has a nurturing love wound. Who would have thought? All right, let's move on. Okay, got to keep it going. I'm aiming for quarter of you guys, but I don't know. All right, protective love wound. Okay, so this wound is saying, I'm not enough. I got to prove something. So as a child, you might have felt like your home didn't feel safe. Parents may have been absent or even unsafe themselves. They were just unpredictable and unreliable. So this, of course, can manifest in very extreme ways and you know, in like in fatherlessness, right? I feel like there's this when the Lord came in the 90s with that outpouring of the Father's love. Do you guys, who was around for that? Started like the Toronto Blessing, but a lot of it was at this core understanding the Father's love. God is a good father, because there was such a cry, I think, in humanity for the pain of a fatherless generation, right? And so this is a lack of protective love that can cause that. And so, so safety is a big deal. And when you don't feel safe, it can be very disorientating. And often, though, this kind of wound can happen with a experience, like a specific extreme experience, whether they experienced a tragedy too early or had a really big challenge that maybe they weren't quite mature enough for. There's usually a marking of an experience that made them have to grow up too fast. This is those that you might have had. This is when like the bubble of what you know to be your world as a kid and feel safe all of a sudden got popped. And you were this vulnerable thing exposed to like this world that is upside down now. And how do you process that as a child, right? And so how that kind of manifests in adulthood is usually there's a higher sexual instinct. Now, sexual in the sense of nature, okay? Not like talking about intimacy or sex drive, okay? This is like in mating season and nature, okay? What happens, especially if you look at birds, during mating season, birds attract their mate by puffing themselves up or doing dances even. It's like crazy. You guys all watch like it's that weird, like, nature shows. I don't know. I'm not as into that. But, like, the whales are great, but I don't know about the birds. Birds freak me out a little bit. They're so unpredictable. Daryl's not. Okay, good. Daryl's not here. Oh, sorry, Daryl. I never told him that before. Whoops. Love that he loves them, though. Anyways, birds will, like, puff themselves up to attract, right? And so that's kind of that sexual energy. That's what I mean by that word, okay? So it's like this challenger energy, this out to prove something, the, like, let's go, I got this, nobody mess with me, something to prove to themselves, to others, and to the world. It's that fight mode, right? Ready to go. Often they can have, like, some trust issues with others and the world. That's why they have that fighter to kind of, like, guard up. It's because their world got popped when they were kids. Their like idea of safety got destroyed. And so now there's usually a little bit of trust issues going on with if they know something safe. Now, the redemption of this, though, let's look. The gift of this wound is these people are they're prepared. They're reliable. They do what needs to be done. They are strong, fearless, protective towards others. They are the trailblazers, the forerunners, the adventurers, the reformers, and the revolutionaries. Like, come on. These are the ones that know their world is meant to be something better than what their experience was. So they're the ones that are going to fight to make sure that happens. What a cool gift, right? Talk about redemption. We all know some of those people, right? Maybe you are one of those. Okay. Let's see. Well, guys, we're blazing. I just want to say, before we move on to the healing of these wounds, is that we all probably have levels of each wound in our lives. So, but typically we'll have one wound a bit, like, deeper than the other, you know? So, like, if, and again, this typically in psychology can manifest with your relationship with your mom or your dad or your maternal figure or your paternal figure. If your maternal figure with nurturing love was a bit absent, then maybe there's a deeper nurturing love wound, and vice versa with the father, it could have been a deeper paternal wound. Okay. Does that make sense? So we all have like different layers of these, because again, there's grace for parenting. Please. There is such grace, and the Lord meets us there. So let's talk about how the Lord meets us there. Okay. Receiving nurturing love of God. This is how God is with us. That is literally his name, the announcement of him coming. He shall be called Emmanuel, which is literally God with us. The Lord is the one who is with us always. And he is the one who cares for us. I probably don't have time to read through this whole part of scripture, but in Matthew 6, 23, 34, that is where the Lord is talking about taking care and not worrying. That even if he takes care of the birds of the air, there we go, birds again, come on, okay. Or the lilies of the field, how they're adorned in all their glory. You know, like, how much more does your Father in heaven take care of you and will meet every need? Your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. And then, in John 16, 23, whatever you ask of him and he will give you. This is the God. Our God is the one who meets every single need of our heart because he cares for us. The God who helps us. I love this passage of scripture in John 16, 7. This is when the Lord is getting ready to ascend into heaven, and he's giving his last sermon, last communication to the people. And he says, it is to your advantage. It is better that I go, better than Jesus on earth. It's better that Jesus leaves so that the Helper will come, so that Holy Spirit will come and be able to be with you always. I love that. It shows the intentionality of how God created us. He created us to need him and to want to be with him. And if we allow him in those spaces of those nurturing love wounds, he is so faithful to meet them. He's so good. I'm still, to this day, I get overwhelmed by his witness. His never leaving my side. It's just beautiful. All right, let's look at receiving protective love of God. This is fun. So in receiving the protective love of God. He's the God who empowers us. Again, at the end of Matthew, the Great Commission, we know this. All authority has been given unto me. Go, therefore, into all the nations and preach the gospel, right? Go. This is the exousia. This is all authority I give to you. You can do it. This is who you are. You can do this. He's the God who empowers us. He's the God who enables us, who has blessed you with every spiritual blessing. Oh, man. Ephesians, this is such a good passage. Okay, I'm just going to read my notes so I don't, like, go forever. Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing? And then in verse 13, it says, in him you also trusted, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. It's like God rigged it so that we would have every need met and anything that the inheritance is. I love the language of inheritance, that it's like you were born, you've been adopted into his lineage to receive an inheritance to enable you to do you and be the light into the world. That's pretty darn enabling in the best way. All right. The God who encourages us. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Man, okay. First of all, 2 Timothy, Paul is writing to Timothy, who's like is he a spiritual son, right? I don't know if they're actually related. Are they? No, they're not related. See, Jonathan says, okay. Spiritual father, okay. Paul was a spiritual father to Timothy. And if you want to get encouraged in protective love, just read the whole darn chapter. It's not that long. You'll be okay. But it is here. Ready? I just took snippets out of it, okay? In chapter 1, 6 through 7, stir up the gifts. Don't be afraid. Chapter 1, 13, hold fast. 2, 1, be strong. 2, 11 to 12, endure all things. Chapter 4, verse 2, preach the word. Be ready and be watchful. 4, 5, fulfill your ministry. Because God is not giving you spirit of fear, right? Like power, love, and a sound mind. Power in your body, love in your emotions, sound mind in your intellect. All levels of our being, he has empowered us. He has encouraged us to go and do. Isn't that great? All right. Man, this is, okay, I'm going fast. Let's go into this part because I don't want to leave you guys hanging. This is the last bit. We're landing, crash landing here. I want to pray for each of you guys, okay? And I want to do this in a very intentional way, okay? What I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you to just take a few seconds, maybe as I was sharing about these, you already know, and notice any resonant in you that connected with either wound, with the nurturing love wound or the protective love wound or both. And as you notice that pain or the wound or that filter, just, I want us to respond. I'm going to ask you to respond by standing, because when we respond with intention, we no longer are a victim to reacting. If you want power over this wound, over this pattern, over this pain, and to be more aware so that your capacity to be loved and to love others with nurturing love, if you want that to expand, then I want you to stand up because I'm gonna pray. Anyone need more nurturing love in their lives? It's okay. You can stand up for both too. I'm going to rig it. This is called a rigged ministry time where everyone should be standing. I'm just kidding. You don't have to. If you really don't resonate and you had like amazing parents, like you're fine. But nurturing love. Okay, are you guys ready? Just like get and receive your hands over your heart or out, whatever is good. Okay, ready? I'm going to pray. Lord, right now in Jesus' name, we invite the nurturing love of God to invade our hearts, our minds, and our souls. God, would you show us how you are always with us wherever we go, no matter what. You don't bore of us. You don't get overwhelmed of us. God, I pray that you would give us language and eyes to see the needs, the deepest needs in our hearts, and to not bury them or hide them or shield them from you any longer, thinking that it's a shameful thing. God, I thank you that it is your delight to meet us in our needs, and you are more than happy to take care of them, that you not only enjoy taking care of us, God, but you delight in who we are. And God, I pray that you would give us the courage to show up fully as we are to your nurturing love. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. You guys ready to go after protective love? Who else needs that? Anyone notice that? Okay. God, right now, I just pray that we would be open and receptive and notice your protective love in our lives. God, that we would fear no longer. God, that when we feel unsafe, in the moments when we felt like nobody was for us and we had to fight, I pray that you would show how you had been there the whole time. You've been there the whole time, God, and you were there protecting us from harm's way. Even in hurtful moments, God, you are there. And God, I pray that you would just reinforce the protecting walls of our hearts, that you would reinforce the safety and the safe space of your love around us so that we can thrive in you, God. And I speak right now in Jesus' name that we are enough, that there is, even though there is this beautiful desire to go and to just conquer and go after the things that you have called us to, God, I also pray though that you would reinforce that drive with that we are already enough, and it wouldn't be from a place of proving any longer, that we don't have to prove anything to you or to anyone else because we are enough already. We are enough already. And Lord, the other thing I want to pray for is that fun would infiltrate our lives again. That those of us that had to grow up too early, that those of us that had a marking moment that made us have to just be older than we felt we could. God, I pray that you would just fill us with childlikeness right now. That you would fill us with the joy and the play and the fun and adventure and the fearlessness to make mistakes and try things again, God. We thank you for that encouragement. God, we just thank you for your love, for your nurturing love, for your protective love, for your hand in our lives through every part of our story. You are there. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to this week's message. If you'd like more information about our church, visit faithworship.org.